be without him. In Exodus chapter 14, Exodus chapter 14 and verse 1, I want to read through verse 13, and we'll pause there and we'll go to several other places here in Scripture, but let's begin here. Exodus chapter 14, the title of the message is In the Dead End of Despair, and you'll understand where that comes from here in a moment. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariots and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand. And the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and of his horsemen and of his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Lord, I love you and I thank you for this incredible passage of Scripture and this story, this account of what you did that day outside of that sea of Red Sea and how you delivered your people through on dry ground. And Lord, how Egypt was defeated and Pharaoh was defeated and you delivered as you always have. I'm thankful that we serve a faithful God. Lord, draw our attention this morning to you. Let us get a good glimpse of who our God is and what you have done for us. Let us set our gaze and our focus and our faith firmly on the Lord Jesus Christ. Or that we wouldn't see a Red Sea and we wouldn't even see an Egyptian army behind us, but that we'd see a God before us. I pray that you speak to our hearts and feed us from your word, Lord. We love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Talk about an incredible story. Probably every person who's ever been to Sunday school for any length of time has heard this chapter and this story and no doubt pictured it. If you could travel in time, if you could make yourself a time machine and go back to various stories and watch them unfold, this would have to be on the top of the list. I'm sure there's some stories like David and Goliath or Elijah on Mount Carmel or various stories that we look to, certainly the crucifixion and the empty tomb, the resurrection of the Lord, but this one stands pretty high. This one stands pretty high. A people, they're back behind them. They had the Egyptian army and Pharaoh and the mightiest army in the world, the Empire of Egypt, just behind them, ready to destroy them. In front of them, the Red Sea, they could not escape. The pillar of fire by night, a cloud by day, the very presence of God. It's as if the world and the world met up against God that day and God's people. And obviously we know exactly how it unfolded. But an incredible story. I think of what it must have been like to walk through on dry ground. As the waters, an east wind would come up that night and part the waters and the ground would be made dry. And to walk through a wall of water on one side and a wall of water on the other, but to pass through on dry ground. How incredible that must have been. To pass over on the other side and Pharaoh's army begin to pursue them through the sea, and the Lord would intervene and make the wheels begin to fall off of their chariots and they would struggle there in the middle of the Red Sea. And then the Lord would tell Moses, raise that rod again. And he would raise that rod and the waters would come crashing down and the armies of Pharaoh in Egypt would be destroyed that day. It's an incredible story. But before that incredible story, there was a real despair among the people of God. He would say it this way, and they would say this in verse 10. It says, And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Look at Pharaoh, or look at Moses, and Moses, didn't we tell you this was what was going to happen? It would have been better for us to still be serving in Egypt than to be out here backed up against the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army behind us and for us to die here in the wilderness. Were there not enough graves there in Egypt to hold us all that you had to bring us out here to bury us? Talk about a pretty low point. They felt like the Lord delivered them merely to die. I mean, they had watched God's deliverance. There's no question about it. It wasn't that far in history. They knew how Moses had thrown down the rod and it had turned to a serpent, and Pharaoh's magicians had done the same and thrown their rods down and they turned to serpents. But at the end of it, Moses, that serpent from Moses' rod would swallow theirs. They knew the leprous hand that God would clean as well. They knew, though, how God had turned the water into blood. They had witnessed it happen. They'd witnessed the dust of the ground turn to lice and the frogs come from the Nile. They had seen the plague, the Moran, that would strike the cattle down. They had seen the hail from heaven that would fall as fire, the darkness that would smite the land. And, of course, that last, they had seen it and witnessed. As God had warned them to have the Passover lamb, to slay that lamb and put the blood over the doorpost and over the lintel. And when that death angel passed through, he would see the blood and he would pass over them. But if there was no blood, he would visit the household and he would take the firstborn. They had been there. They had followed God's command. They had practiced the Passover and God had done exactly what he said. They had walked out with a high hand, as the scripture would describe it. The Egyptians would say, take what you want, and they would spoil the land of Egypt. They would send them out. They would go along the edge there of Egypt and wandering. And they could have gone into, if you will, the land of the Philistines, but we'll come there in a moment. But God would direct them into the wilderness, and God would direct them to that Red Sea. And in that moment, the Red Sea in front of them, Pharaoh's heart hardened and his mind changed, and the people of Israel, of Egypt as well, they marched against them, and they thought, God delivered us to die. That's what he has done. He's delivered us up to kill us here in the wilderness. Can't be too hard because, friend, if you look back in your life and you've known Christ for any length of time, you've seen God work, right? I remember the day, May of 1995, that I came to know Christ as my personal Savior. But that wasn't the last time God moved in my heart and in my life. It wasn't the first time, it wasn't the last time he spoke to my heart since then and changed my life and shaped me more into his image. It's not the last time that he's provided for me along the way. It's not the last time that he's met needs and cared for me along the way. But there's also been the moments where I've thought, Lord, did you deliver me merely to destroy me here? Anybody else been there? Is that what you have done? You've brought me all the way through that and left me here. That's where the people of Israel were at. You've delivered us up to let us die here. It would have been better for us to be servants and slaves in Egypt than to die here. Well, that's a low point. It would have been better to be lost in Egypt than to be a child of God. Boy, there was an element of missing faith there, wasn't there? I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God is able to deliver us from this furnace, but if not, we'd rather burn and die than bow. But this, folks, said we would rather bow than burn. We would rather live as servants in Egypt than we would have died here at this Red Sea. But they sure felt God had left them. They first sure felt God was done with them. But God was a far cry from it. I want you to notice, first of all, God's plan in what unfolded here. Look at chapter 3 and verse 17. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Boy, God's plan. It wasn't the plan that man would choose. What was near was the land through the Philistines. You want to get cut through and get to the promised land quickly, there was another way to go. But God had a more roundabout route for him, didn't he? He wasn't going to take him the short route. He wasn't going to take him the direct route. He wasn't taking him straight through. He was taking him a roundabout route, and he would bring them right up against the Red Sea. Do you know God's people were right where God wanted them, and they were still troubled? Do you know God oft sometimes leads us into times of trouble? You remember the story of the Lord up on the mountain? He would send his disciples down to cross the Sea of Galilee, and he would send them out, and the storm would hit them in the middle of the night. The Savior sent them into the storm. In this passage of Scripture, we see it as the Lord that leads them to the Red Sea. You see God's plan unfolding here. He didn't take them the direct route. He took them a roundabout route. But you know what God was trying to do? He was trying to do a work in their life. He said, if I send them through the land of the Philistines, they'll face war, and they'll repent and return. I need these people to see again who I am. God was trying to do something in their life, and the only way it could be done is up against a Red Sea. A Red Sea in front of them and an army behind them. God said, if I'm going to work in their life, I'm going to have to bring them to a time of trial. Think of what James would say to the church in James 1, 1 through 4. He would say, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God was doing something in their life that could only be done on a roundabout journey up to a Red Sea. I'll tell you something, friend. There is a God who works in our life. It's God's plan. It's a plan of consideration. God always considers who we are. He knew what they could handle and what they could not handle, and he knew what he wanted to do in their life, and he had to do it up against the Red Sea. Friend, there are times and things in our life that God can only do through our life through times of trouble, times of trial, if you will, the dead-end street of despair. The dead-end place that we come to, that we look ahead and say, there's no way forward and there's no way back. I might die here in this place. And God brought them there on purpose. Because what he had for them had to happen there. It was a consideration. I believe this. God brings us to place is because he's trying to work in us. He's trying to work in us. Conform us to the image of his dear son. To form out of us who he wants us to be. A plan of consideration, a plan of exaltation. Chapter 14, verse 1, it said, and the Lord said unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdal and the sea over against Baal Zephon, and before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he will follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. God was not only doing something among the people, but he was doing something he wanted all the world to see. He was shaping Israel, and he was glorifying God to the world. He said, when I am done with what I will do there at the Red Sea, they'll all know who I am. That question that Pharaoh asked, I said, that statement that he made, I know not the Lord. I know not the Lord. He said, when I'm done at the Red Sea, they'll all know me. They'll all know me. He brought his people to the Red Sea, not only for what he was trying to do among his own people, but what he was trying to let the world see. When that water parted there at the Red Sea, it could not be a work of man. Could not. An east wind that would sweep up and part the waters, that's not man. Walk over on dry ground. A rod lifted in the water's cave, that's not man, that's God. The mightiest army in the land destroyed, that is God. I'll tell you something, friend. God brings us to times of trial, not only for what he's trying to do in us, but what he's trying to do through us. He wants to do something in our life that others look around and say, that must be God. I think of the scripture in 1 Peter where Peter would say this to the New Testament church, but and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. That's a hard statement. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. No prosperity gospel there, is there? And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So when God allows you to be persecuted for righteousness' sake, when you find yourself struggling for what is right, and you find yourself under the weight that the others notice, and yet there's the joy of the Lord in your life, and there is a hope that lieth within. And your life, rather than being the defeated, discouraged, downtrodden person, is a light to the world. He said, be ready to give an answer to the hope, of the hope that lieth within you. Why? So that the world would know God. He brought those people to that hard place so that their life might be changed and the world would take notice of who God is. And I'll tell you, trials are... God allows it to our life, and sometimes he brings us right into them. Oh, we've got our own share of trials that we created, our own struggle, our own sin. But God brings us to them. He brings us to Red Seas and armies behind us, places the dead end of despair, if you will. And he doesn't bring us there to destroy us or to dig our grave, but rather that we might see who God is and that we might proclaim who God is. We see God's plan in it all. I would remind you this morning, God has a plan for our life. We see God's protection. In verse 5, in these few verses here, we get a glimpse of that army. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them and all the horses and the chariots and Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army. And he overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pi-hahiroth before Baal-zephon. The army of Egypt was there before them. Look what the Bible says in verse 20 or verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. In verse 21 of chapter 13, it says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. You see in this passage of Scripture, the Lord brought them to the Red Sea. He allowed Pharaoh's heart to be hardened that he would march against them. He brought them to the very place that day. But when Pharaoh's army was there to destroy them, God stood between. There was a barrier. God would let Pharaoh march and he would bring them to the Red Sea, but he wouldn't let it go any further than he was willing to let it go. 1 Corinthians 10:13 said, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. It's a wonderful thing to know that God may lead me up to the Red Sea, and may God may put an army behind me, but he's surely not going to let any of it destroy me. God's in this passage of Scripture, God said, you know, Pharaoh, I'm going to let you come, but I'm not going to let you touch my people. He would bring them to the Red Sea, but he would also part the Red Sea. He would bring them into the corner of what seemed to be a place of utter despair and defeat, and yet he would not let his people fall. You know, Christian, there is this. God does allow trials to come our way. But you remember something. There's someone between you and the trial, and that is God. The same one who led them to that place moved behind them to protect them from the danger in the place. Same one who said, follow me out of the land and come with me. I'm going to bring you into the promised land. The same one who took them the long scenic route and into the wilderness up to the Red Sea is the same one that when the trial came stood between them and the trial and wouldn't let the trial destroy them. There's a God who's in control. There's a God who is in control. A God who is always at work and always has a plan and who always watches over his own, his protection. The barrier that he placed, the darkness that was there to those who rejected him, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and a darkness to them. To Egypt, that cloud was dark. John 3:18-20 said, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be destroyed." 10 plagues the Lord sent to Egypt, and they still rejected him. Egypt lived in the dark, friend. They lived in the dark. Well, there's a world that is in darkness, and I think of Rahab in the book of Joshua, and as they would enter into the promised land, there Rahab would be in Jericho, and she would look back and say to these 2 spies that were hiding out there, "We know what happened in Egypt. We know what God did at the Red Sea. We know how God delivered." And she said, "I don't want to be named among those on the opposite side of God. I don't want to be in the walls of Jericho with Jericho when it falls. I want to be on the Lord's side." She made a choice. For the world, it was dark. For the world, it was following something other than themselves. For the world, it was the end. For the people of Israel, it was the beginning. Darkness. For them, it was a light, and the darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these. John 8:12 said, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The world could not move forward because of the dark, but God kept his people in the light. There was a barrier, God's protection. Next, we see God's principles. Look at verse 13. Verse 12 into verse 13. "Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, the people spoke, saying, Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it hath been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." He would give them some instruction. That first one was, fear ye not, take courage. Fear ye not. Moses looked at his people trembling in fear with Egypt's armies behind them and the sea before them, and he would say, fear ye not. Take courage. I think of Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy path. From a human standpoint, from human logic and understanding and leaning on your own understanding, these people should have been afraid. They should. No Red Sea had ever parted. No wind had ever risen so strong as to part water. There was a sea in front of them, Egypt's empire behind them. Human reasoning said, we die here today. We will be buried in this wilderness. This is our end. We have been brought up to be destroyed. But there's a good reason that the Lord says in that verse, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Because God does part water. Because God does do what man cannot understand. Logic said one thing, God said another. And I'm going to tell you, friend, if you lean on your own logic, fear will be your end. Because our logic cannot wrap our minds around what God can do. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or what? Think. The problem is with leaning on your own logic is your logic cannot think of what God can do enough. That there are scenarios when leaning in your own logic that God cannot get you out of. There are issues in life that God cannot bring you through when you're in your own logic. And what did he call him to do? Trust in the Lord. Fear ye not. Fear ye not. The principle is this, Christian. When you're following God and when you're following his direction, when he brings you to the Red Sea, when he allows an army to come up behind you, fear ye not. Trust in him. Trust in him. And then he makes this statement. Not only does he say, fear ye not, but he says this, fear ye not, and then another statement, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Stand still. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Psalm 62:5-7. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. What did he say? He said, be steadfast. He would say, stand still and watch what I'm going to do. Fear not and be steadfast. Don't you quit in what God has for you. Wait on him. He said, if you hold on a minute, you'll watch me do a work. If we're not careful, we quit before God quits. We're done before God's done. And we miss what God had because we doubt and we quit. What does he say in his word? Fear ye not, stand still. I believe this. When you find yourself with a Red Sea behind, in front and an army behind, trust God and be steadfast. Keep doing what God puts you there to do. Keep doing what God's called you to do. Keep waiting for God to do a work. Stand still. He didn't say run. He didn't say hide. He said, stand still and watch. Be steadfast. Then we see this. Not only did he say, take courage and be steadfast, but he would say this statement, be still. Look, verse 14, or verse, and the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your what? Peace. First he says, fear not, and then stand still, and then he says, be still. Ye shall hold your peace. It's a difference. There's a difference there. One is an outward action. The other is an inward condition, isn't it? You can stand still and not be at peace. You can stand still and not be at peace. But in this passage of Scripture, he said, I don't want you to stand still and fear not. I want you to know peace. Why don't you stop for a moment and watch what I'm about to do and be at peace that I can. I can, he would say to them. Trust me and know peace, because I am going to provide deliverance. You know, God calls us in those moments when we find ourselves with trouble surrounding us, the dead end of despair. Trust God. Be steadfast. And friend, be still. Be still. What does he say in Isaiah chapter 26, 3-4? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Philippians 4:4-7, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be still. Be still. Not only did he say to trust, and not only did he say to be steadfast, but he just said, calm down a little bit, folks. Calm down a little bit. I know they're behind you, and I know the Red Sea is in front of you. I'm the one who brought you here. Friend, I'm the one that is the cloud between you. I'm the one that's the pillar of fire stopping them from getting to you. Be still. Be still. Matter of fact, that very next verse says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? speaking to the children of Israel that they go forward. He's not talking about prayer. He's talking about, what is all this worry? What is all this worry? Do you not remember the serpent that I turned, the rod that I turned to a serpent, the hand that I turned leprous? Do you not remember the water that I turned to blood, the dust that I turned to lice, the frogs that I called out from the sea? Do you not remember the darkness that I smote the land with? Do you not remember the hail that came down as fire? Do you not remember the death angel? Do you not remember these things? Be still. Be still. Call is that when we find ourselves with a Red Sea in front of us, an army behind us, and the despair is before us, is that we trust God has a plan, that He has me in mind and He's brought me by the way that I have gone because He's doing something in me and through me, and He has a plan. And one of those things is a work in me, and the other is to through me, that He would exalt the name of God. And He says to me, trust me. Trust me. Be steadfast. Be still. Watch. Watch what I'll do. And lastly, we see God's power. Verse 15. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. Verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord God caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians and upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. And there remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And the Lord saw the great work which the Lord did. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. God's power. God's power. God's power on call. I like verse 15. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. There's faith. He said, you tell Egypt, or you tell the people, they are going forward. It looked like there was no way to go. Egypt was behind him, and Pharaoh's army behind him, and a Red Sea before him. And the Lord said, Moses, tell them they're going to go forward. Tell them they're going through that Red Sea. Tell them that's where they're going. I like what Hebrews chapter 11 said about it in Hebrews 11, 28 through 29. Through faith he kept the Passover, speaking of Moses, and the sprinkling of the blood, lest they destroyed the firstborn, should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By faith they passed through the Red Sea by dry land. By faith. You guys are going forward. And by faith they went forward. By faith, they trusted God. Fear not. By faith, they could see and be steadfast. By faith, they could know the peace of God. And by faith, they could move forward. And when they did that, when they trusted God, it opened up God's incredible blessing. I love this passage of Scripture. And God says that they believed God and they feared. And it would just be a few short years later, they'd come to another body of water. Remember that story? they'd come to a river, the Jordan River, at its flood, ready to cross over. They would send their spies into the land, and Moses would send those spies into the land. They'd come back with a report. 10 were bad and 2 were good, right? Joshua and Caleb would give their good report, and they would tell of the land and all that God had promised and what lied ahead. And the other 10, they would bring a story of doom and gloom, like God hadn't sent the plagues and like God hadn't parted the Red Sea. They're mightier than we are and we'll die. And in that story, in that account, they would forget what God had done, and they would doubt him. And they would wish for Egypt. And they would refuse to cross over. Because of their lack of faith, they would die in the wilderness. Faith. What a difference our faith and our trust in God makes for us, doesn't it? Remember the day you were saved? The day you were saved? Someone showed you from the Word, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Someone showed you from the Word that there was a penalty for sin, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire, which is the second death, for the wages of sin is death. Someone showed you the good news of the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Someone showed you what Jesus had done, that he had died on the cross and that he rose again 3 days later, that you might be saved. Someone reminded you and showed you from the Scripture it's a free gift. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith, and that not of yourselves, but the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should what? Boast. Someone showed you about Jesus and what he had done and said, whosoever, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made in salvation. And you made a decision of faith and repentance, turning from self and sin and putting your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by grace through faith, you were saved. Faith made the difference. When you come to the Red Sea, the difference that is what makes the difference is faith. Faith. The Red Sea was there. Pharaoh's army was behind him, but faith would make the difference. Friend, God has a plan in every trial he brings our way. This was the dead end of despair. They stood at the dead end of despair. They had come out of everything they knew. They came out of slavery. They had seen God work, and they thought in their mind that he had delivered them up to die. He delivered me up not to give me what he promised. And yet God reminded them, I have a plan. I brought you here on purpose. Would you trust me? Fear not. Be steadfast. Be still. And watch what I do. And the whole time, while they were waiting, God stood between them and Pharaoh. And there was no way Pharaoh or his army was crossing over. And I will tell you, when you're in the dead end of despair, God still stands. He still stands. And it can't touch you unless he lets it touch you. And when he lets it touch you, friend, he does it because he's trying to do something in you and through you that brings honor and glory to his name. So be steadfast. Be still. Trust him. And watch him work. Let's pray. Lord, I love you and I thank you so much for the Word of God. I'm thankful for this account that you didn't let fade into history. You had it written down in your Word that we might turn to it, read it, learn of our Savior, learn of our God and what he did. How you provided protection and deliverance for your people. How you brought them through the Red Sea. How you provided for them. Lord, I pray that our trust and our faith would be completely in the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be in nothing else but fully resting in the Lord. Lord, let us rest that you have a purpose and a plan, that you have brought us where we are and through the things you've allowed us to go through on purpose. Lord, that we'd rest in you. Heads bowed and eyes closed. How many can say, preacher, I know that I'm saved. There was a time in my life when I put my trust in Christ. In terms of my salvation, where I'll spend eternity, that's a settled thing for me. I've trusted in Christ. And I know that if I died right now, I'd be with the Lord. If that's your testimony, would you raise your hand? You say, preacher, that's a settled thing for me. Thank you. Is there anybody here this morning that would raise their hand and say, preacher, I'm unsure about my salvation. I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Not sure that heaven is my home or where I'm headed, but I would sure like to know Christ as my Savior. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made in salvation. I want to put my faith and trust in Christ. Is there anybody like that? You say, preacher, would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? Say, preacher, pray for me. I'd like to put my trust in him. Let me ask you this then, Christian. How many of you say, preacher, the Lord has spoken to my heart? A reminder this morning that God has a purpose and a plan for what he's allowing in my life. A reminder this morning that he has a barrier between me and the trial. A call in my life to trust him, to be still, to be steadfast in my life. But God has spoken to my heart this morning. Would you raise your hand as a testimony? And would you stand with me as that pianist begins to play? As God has spoken to your heart, the invitation is given, and do business with the Lord this morning as God has spoken to your heart.
All for Jesus, all for Jesus.